Awesome. Well, good morning, church. It is good to be with you. We had a great time yesterday. How many were here yesterday? Awesome. Was it a good time? Was God faithful to speak to your hearts and encourage you? And praise the Lord. Can I get a bottle of water? Would that be possible? Would you turn in your Bibles this morning? I want to talk to you this morning for a little bit on saying yes to prophetic transitions. That's really what I want to speak to you about this morning. You know, at the end of last year, New Year's Eve service, our pastor, he preached a message, actually preached on vision. But in the midst of that message, he asked this question. He said, "What are you saying yes to?" And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me through that and literally for, thanks very much, appreciate that. For a lot of days, the Lord began to speak to me about, Gary, what are you saying yes to? Like, really, what are you saying yes to? And the opposite of that is, what are you saying no to? Because if you're going to say yes to certain things, you've got to be willing to say no to some things. And so it really became, a challenge that I have basically for the last year, wherever I go, I kind of start off with asking that question, what are you saying yes to? Now, I want to say this right up front. This is interactive. It's an interactive message, so you can say amen, ouch, yes, amen. You can smile at me. I'm not offended if you don't smile, but I'd love for you to smile, okay? You say yes to, or really, what do you give permission to in your life? What are the things that you're giving permission to? Because the power of having the right or wrong people or situations in your life can dramatically impact how you live your life. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. See, what I say yes to will dramatically alter my destiny and the course of my life, but the purposes that I live for. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says this, "For all the promises of God are in him, yes and amen." So are you saying yes to the promises of God over your life? Are you saying yes to defeat? Exactly, that was a trick question. Are we saying yes to his purposes? Are we saying yes to his plans for our life? Do you know that God has good plans for you? Come on, he's got good plans. For this church, he's got good plans. And he's got good dreams and good thoughts for everybody. We learned yesterday that God is always thinking about us. You know, God's not thinking, he's not thinking bad things about us. He's thinking good things about us. Amen? His thoughts are good. Would you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11? Genesis chapter 11. And as you're turning there, let me just throw some thoughts at you that God wants each and every one of us to extend our faith and to, with a resounding, really a resounding yes in our spirit, shift our focus. You know, to be effective, we all need to be intentional about saying yes to things that will increase our potential, increase our ability to not only hear from God, but grow in our lives. Listen, as a church, you've got to be intentional about saying yes to certain things. You've also got to be intentional saying no to some things. I appreciated what Travis said there, that you're trying to cut some things out because you're trying to be intentional about relationship. How many know you need to be intentional about relationships? You need to be intentional about reaching the lost. You need to be intentional about worshiping God. You know, there's times when my son now is 21. He's about to turn 22. He's about to get married this summer. And I can remember as a little kid, he was like 2 years old. And I would say to him, 2 or 3 years old, he'd stand beside me and I'd say, "Come on, Josh, we need to worship today." And he'd go, "Dad, I don't want to do worship. I want to worship at all." Like, you know, just kind of, as a little kid, "I don't want to do that, Dad. I'm tired." Well, you slept 10 hours. You shouldn't be tired. Like, come on. And so I would say to him, "Josh, come on, set your will. The Bible says, I will worship the Lord. So come on, set your will right now. Come on, we're going to dance. Come on, we're going to dance." And he'd go, "Dad, I don't want to." "Come on, Josh, set your will." And then he'd set his will, and he'd begin to dance. And I would intentionally do that. You know that today, like, he's leading worship, he plays 4 or 5 instruments, he writes songs, he loves God, he's in a music program, he's done everything that we had intentionally begin to work in his life. We recognized some things and we said, okay, you know, you're not going to be involved in 10 sporting activities, but you're going to go learn how to play piano, you're going to learn how to play drums, you're going to, because that was where he intentionally had the giftings in focus. But if never really actually developed that in his life, he wouldn't be where he is today. So you've got to be intentional. I want to talk to you a little bit about saying yes to prophetic transitions. Listen, every person in this room is going to go through a transition at some point in your life. Let me define transition for you. It's a passage from one state, stage, or subject, or place to another. It's from one stage to another. It's a movement, a development, or evolution from one form, stage, or style to another. Listen, transitions happen, whether we like them or not. Isn't that true? Anybody ever gone through some transitions? Listen, if you were born, you went through a transition to go from a little baby to a little boy to a young man to hopefully someone who's married, and then you got married. That's a whole transition, right? How many, like, I've been married 30 years, but how many remember when you first got married? What a transition that was, right? I mean, it was a huge transition. And then when you had children, was that a transition?
Nightmare.
Well, transitions happen in our lives to move us to a better place, a place of increase and advancement. Listen, God wants to put in our spirit this thought this morning. I want everybody to hear me, if you could, that God wants to put in your spirit a spirit of advancement. That God wants to take you, not only as a church, but as individuals, to another a better place. That transitions are not a bad thing, but they are actually a God thing. That God orchestrates transitions. Transitions are meant to bring you and I to a level of change that will produce newness in our life, new things in our spirit, new things in our life, new things in our church. God is all about bringing us through transitions. I'm going to show you this morning some powerful transitions. They're a part of life. You cannot stay the same. If you are a Christian, you cannot stay the same. God will bring transition on your life. He wants to take you from one place to the next. Come on, can I hear an amen? Amen? Amen or ouch, one or the other. But the fact is God is trying to get you to a new place. Amen. And sometimes he actually stirs the pot of your life to bring you to a new place. Sometimes he takes you out of your comfort zone to get you to a new place. And all the time we're going, God, why are you doing this? He's saying, because I want to bring change in your life. I'm all about transition. I'm all about bringing you to a better place. Genesis chapter 11, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Let me just say this. There's two ways you can look at transition, or you can look at change. The first one is obviously the negative. When you think of the word transition, negatively, the word itself can represent a threat, a disruption of comfort and safety. It can be fearful, and you can resist it at all costs. I've had moments where, you know, I felt like I needed to make some changes, and I've resisted it because it's the fear of the unknown. And it's a little nervous, and so what do I do? Do I take that step or do I not take that step? Well, that's the negative. But the positive is that if you look at it, it can be a word that has a sense of hope, fresh possibilities, potential for newness. And as you embrace it wholeheartedly, it can actually change your life. It can set your course to a new level of expectancy and devotion. It can actually bring tremendous things in your life. Genesis 11, if you could turn to verse 27. Genesis 11, verse 27. This is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. But Haran died. Would you, if you have a Bible, just underline that. Haran died. Haran died in the year of the Chaldeans and the land of his birth while his father Terah was still living. Meanwhile, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Milcah and her sister Iscah were daughters of Nahor's brother Haran. But Sarah was unable to become pregnant and had no children. One day, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarah, his sons Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from the Ur of Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but he stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived 205 years and died while still in Haran. And the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who will bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years, and he was left in Let me just say this word of prayer for you. Father, I just pray as we look at this morning that you would just speak into our spirits about transition and change, and that it would bring hope and a sense of anticipation in our lives. I pray that you would work a deep work in our spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. Norman Wright said this about transition. He said, with every transition comes the potential for change, for growth, for insight, for understanding, and for refinement. All of these are positive descriptions. These are words of hope. We can fight the process or we can embrace it. In the face of something you cannot change, accept it, embrace it, and go with it. Listen, God is authoring new steps in your life. In the story that we just read, we have actually two accounts. We have one of Terah, and Terah was the father of Abram. And then we have Abram, who becomes Abraham, the father of faith. And actually, listen, let me just say this. I'll probably say it a little later. But the fact that Abraham began to take a step of change and move with the transition that God had asked him, the reason he did that is because you and I are sitting here today. The fact that he did that we are the benefactors of his willingness to go into places where he didn't know where he was going. But before we get there, there's a story that I want to just draw your attention to, and it's the story of Terah. And Terah is Abram's father, and the Bible says that his son died. Haran died. And then there came a point where he said, let's go on to Canaan. Now, Canaan represents the promised land, right? You know, Canaan represents the promised land, the place of blessing, the place of fruitfulness, the place where all of the possibilities in God can take place. How many know God wants you to get to your promised land? I'm here to tell you, God wants to get you to your promised land, not only as a church, but as a people, as individuals. God has promises that he wants to take you into. But just like Terah, you have to face some things. And Terah came to a place. He came to a place called Haran. Now, I don't know if it was named after his brother or if it was named after his son, but the correlation is there, that Haran, Terah's son, died, and then Terah walks into a place called Haran, and he began to live there. The Bible says he lived there 205 years, and then he died. Now, this thought is not original with me, but I'm going to share it with you because it's really important, and it's this. If you and I ever want to get to our promised land, we have to face the greatest relational conflict of our life. We have to face the greatest relational difficulty in our life. And what I have found in my own personal life and every person that I seem to talk to and work with and is this, that some of us or most of us have issues of relational conflict. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. The fact of the matter is you can't be a Christian for any... I'm going to come over there in a minute, but I just felt like I need to come over here, okay? It's like yesterday I was over here most of the time and I didn't get over there, but I'm coming over there. But I just feel like this is a younger group, so I just really want to kind of address this group here. It's this. That if you live any length of time as a believer, you are going to face relational conflict. Isn't that true? Come on, isn't that true? You're going to face issues of personal hurt or personal pain. And what I have found is the enemy, if he can get you to stop and live in that pain and never get to your promised land. And Terah had a vision, had a dream to go to the promised land. But he came to this place with this conflict where he had this great loss in his life. And I'm not trying to diminish the fact that things happen in our lives, but they're not there just to keep us there. They're markers to move us to something greater. And Terah failed. He lived 205 years and then he died. And he never got to his promised land. And then we have Abram, who comes alive, and the Lord begins to speak to him immediately in 12 verse 1 and says, hey, it's time for you to go to your promised land. Now, Abram could have lived there. He was probably comfortable. I mean, literally, like he lived at least 200 years in that one place. 205 years. That's a long time. I mean, we don't live that long anymore. But these guys, they live for a long time. Terah lived for 205 years. And then he died. And at some point, Abraham realized, I can't live here. I can't live in this place. And the Lord said, it's time to move. What I found about transition is this. Sometimes God will tell you to go, but he won't tell you where you need to go. He just tells you to go. God just says, hey, it's time to go. It's time to move. It's time. Look, I want you to take a step. Where do I go, God? I don't know. But you take a step of obedience. And I found in my own life, there's sometimes where God will say something to me. He'll say, you know, it's time for you to move. Okay, I know I'm to move, but where am I to go? You just start walking. You start going. You start taking steps of faith, Gary. You start moving out. Listen, there's going to be some things in your church as you begin to move, and some of you are going to say, well, we haven't walked that way before. That's okay. God's saying move. And if you'll be obedient, if you'll say, yeah, let's move, God will meet you on the way, and God will help you get to your destination. But you've got to be willing to go even when you don't necessarily know where you're going. You just know we're going to the place. We know in our spirit that God's taken us somewhere. We know that God is moving us. Anytime God speaks, listen, anytime God speaks, we are required to listen and obey regardless of the personal risk or discomfort. Come on, has God ever said something to you that's been a little uncomfortable? Yeah. You've got to be able to say yes. You've got to say yes to that. Whenever you decide to make a change, listen, the effects of that change are generational in their impact. They're generational. When you say yes to God, when you say, yes, I'm going to take a step of faith, yes, I'm going to move out, yes, I'm going to do this, yes, I'm going to obey God, it actually affects the little guys sitting right here. We are the benefactors of Abram's step of faith to hear the voice of God and say, go to the promised land. And Abram says, where am I going? Just go. Okay, pack up, we're going. But because he did that, you and I are sitting here today. Amen. And we become benefactors. He takes us to the promised land, and sometimes he does that without telling us exactly where we're going. Listen, we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? Sometimes, exactly, you don't see where you're going. You just have something in your spirit that says, yes, I need to go. I need to do this. So, you know, it could be as simple as you wake up one morning and the Lord says, hey, I need you to go down to Tim's this morning. For what? I don't know, just go down to Tim's. You're sitting at Tim's, all of a sudden, somebody comes, and you start talking to them. And all of a sudden, it becomes a connection. Like, do we want to walk by faith? The second part of transition is, we're not going to have time to read it, but Moses there's three things I want to drop in your spirit. Number one is that sometimes God will take you places where you don't really know where you're going, but if you'll be obedient, God will help you. The second is Moses. And you know the story in Moses where he goes and Moses is actually, the Bible says, he intended to pass by. He saw this burning bush, but he intended to pass by. And then he just turned and he went into the burning bush. And he went to the burning bush and the Lord said to him, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And all of a sudden this great call came on Moses' life. He said, Moses, I want you to go and I want you to become a mighty deliverer. And this is what Moses said. He said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? And listen, let me tell you something. The thing that you need to see is this. Moses was stuck in a desert living. He was comfortable. He was living there for 40 years. And sometimes, in transition, God is going to call you out of your comfort zone. God's going to call you out of wilderness living. God's going to call you out of wrong thinking. I'm going somewhere here this morning, church. Just bear with me. Because some of you are looking at me going, what is going on here? What is he talking about? But I'm going somewhere. Listen, God wants to call you to a new level of authority and kingship as a church. And what I'm here to tell you, listen, Moses was living in a desert mindset. He was living in a wrong mindset. He was trained under the rulership of Pharaoh. So in actual fact, he probably had a king's mindset, but he had an ungodly mindset. He had a way of doing kingship that wasn't the way that God wanted him to do. And he had to have an encounter with God for God to pull him out and say, Moses, I'm going to change the way you're going to think. I'm going to change the way you're going to believe. I'm going to change the way you're going to do things. In fact, you did things your way, and look what it got you. It got you into the wilderness. But I'm going to do things my way, and if you'll listen to me, I'm going to get you to deliver 1 million people. And they're going to go out and they're going to worship me and they're going to be a mighty people. And sometimes God will call you to do things beyond your own thinking, your own capability. And if you'll trust him, God will use you. God will work in your heart. Transitions of faith will always bring, listen, your identity into question. Am I really who I am? Like, am I who man says I am or who God says I am? Have you ever gone through a transition time? Like even just some natural things. Let's say you get fired from a job. And that's been your job the whole life. And you become, that's who I am. I'm this. I'm a policeman. I'm a fireman. I'm whatever. Is that really who you are? Or are you someone else in God? What is your identity? And what God was trying to get through Moses was he was trying to get Moses to see that it's not who you are, it's whose you are. Are you what your circumstance say you are? Or who God says you are? See, Moses questioned who he was. Moses was trained in the courts of Pharaoh as a king, but God had to remove the earthly kingdom mindsets to replace in him to replace it with his kingdom mindsets that depend and rely upon the character of God. Listen, sometimes in transition, sometimes when God begins to work in your heart, what he's trying to do, he's trying to, if I can just use it for a second, he's trying to pull you out of your comfort zone. He's trying to pull you out and say, hey, it's time for you to think differently. It's time for you to act differently. It's time for you to think completely different than what you were thinking about before. And sometimes when you're in the midst of change, that's what God's really trying to do. He's trying to bring you to a place and a level where you're thinking differently than where you are. When change comes, you can be seated, thank you. When change comes upon a church, it's time for the church to start thinking differently, that God wants to take you to a new level. He wants to take you to a new place in God. He wants you to begin to think differently. We're not going to think the way we thought 5 years ago, but we're going to think differently. We're going to begin to conquer things and take areas and take territories different than what we ever did. Amen. And what I sense in my spirit as I've been praying for you guys is this, that I believe that you're in the midst of transition. And what you're in the midst of making some changes. And God is orchestrating changes because he wants to take you to a new level. Can you say new level? Come on, a new way of doing things. Whether it's worship, whether it's children's ministry, whether it's youth ministry, whether it's outreach, whatever they are, God is wanting to take you to a new level. Come on, can I hear an amen? Amen. The third one is the story of Bartimaeus in Mark. I believe it's Mark chapter 10. And Bartimaeus is this blind beggar. Now, he's been there all his life. The Bible says he's got a cloak on. And every day he would sit at the gates and he would say, you know, money, give me money, give me money. That's what he was doing. He was just a beggar. And all of a sudden, one day he heard a different sound. The crowd was different. It was different than what he heard before. He'd never heard this sound before. And then he heard that Jesus was coming through. Listen to what the scripture says. It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left the town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus heard him, but be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. And so he called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Now Jesus asked the question, what do you want me to do for you? And Jesus asked, My rabbi, the blind man, said, I want to see. And Jesus said, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Here's what I want you to see this morning. And get the picture. Bartimaeus is living in the same status quo. He's done this for all his life. He got used to it. He's used to going there. Someone would lead him every morning, and he'd sit there, and he'd beg. And he'd put his cloak on, and everything would happen. But all of a sudden, there's a different sound. And what I want you to see is, listen, there's going to come a moment in everyone's life where there's a different sound, that you're going to begin to hear a different sound. And maybe it's a sound where you're just tired of where you're at. And one of the things I found about transition is sometimes God orchestrates transition. He puts a burning bush in your way, and he begins to call you out. Sometimes he just speaks to you, but other times you just get frustrated with the way you're at. And I think Bartimaeus was just tired of living the way he was at. And I think he was just said, I've got to change. And if you'll be obedient and you'll say, I got to change, what he did, he began to cry out with all his heart. And listen, you may not like where you're at right now at this stage of your life, but if you'll be like Bartimaeus and you will begin to cry out to God, son of David, have mercy on me. God, get me out of this situation. God, get me out of this moment. Lord, I need to change. Something needs to change. If you'll do that, listen, Jesus will stop. Now, I don't know, but I'm just going to give the picture. I'm going to show this. Jesus says to Bartimaeus, come. And Bartimaeus is probably doing this. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, if I'm Bartimaeus, I'm going, you can't see that I'm blind? Wouldn't you think he'd say that? Yes, amen, how true. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Here's what I think. I think God knows exactly what he wants to do. But the reason he asked the question is because he wants you to know what you need. What do you need? What do you need God to do for you? Look, you're in the midst of maybe some difficult situations. What do you really need? Now, Bartimaeus could have said, well, I need some money. Like, I need a new cloak. I left my cloak and I need a new cloak. He could have said that. But Jesus was saying to him, look, what's the real deal here? What do you really need in your life? And sometimes when you're in the midst of transition, folks, you got to come to that place where you say, God, what do I really need? What do I really need? Can I quickly finish here and then we'll pray over a few people, but let me give you just maybe four or five things for you to consider as you're walking through transition. Number one is decide to respond. When God calls you into a place of moving, when God begins to speak, listen, there are natural transitions. We talked about them, marriage, and you know, maybe I'm at the place now where I said to my son, you have 3 years, then I want grandbabies. Any grandparents we have here? I mean, I want some grandbabies. Like, give me grandbabies. My sister just had three. I want some. They're cute. I can feed them with sugar and send them home. Amen. Amen? Come on. I mean, I've got a couple of little girls right now in the church, and they just love me, and I love them, and I always buy them stuff. And the other day, I took them to Niagara Falls, and I'm walking with them, and I'm saying, do you want some ice cream? Okay, let's go get some ice cream. Do you want something else? What else do you want? You want to go? Let's go to the Hershey store. And we went to the Hershey store, and I was like, hey, they're going home. It doesn't matter. Just, come on. But that's natural transitions. But listen, there are other transitions that happen and occur in your life. What about things like this? What about you lose a job? Or maybe there's a loss in your life. Maybe there's a death. That's a transition point. It's a point. Maybe there's a situation where you've been battling and you're in the midst of it. Listen, there are church changes, leadership changes. There's new people coming in. All of these different changes, and they speak to your heart at some level. What are you going to do? You got to decide to respond. Listen, Bartimaeus responded. Abraham departed. Bartimaeus began to shout, and Moses trusted God. What are you going to do? Here's a second one. Decide to leave your past behind. Abraham left his family. Bartimaeus left his coat. Moses left his insecurity and his wrong thinking. You know what I found when transition happens, and I want to say this just kind of gently, but in the midst of a transition, as a church is in the midst of a transition, and you're in the midst of a transition, it's a very insecure moment. It's a very insecure time because you're not sure where you're going. But you're trusting God. And you've got to be willing to just keep walking, keep trusting, keep believing God, that God's in my life, God's working with me, God, you're coming along, right? God, you're coming along. Moses had to leave his insecurity and he had to keep moving forward. Leave your past behind. Leave your past behind. You know, listen, faith will always challenge you to move out of your comfort zones. It's time to let go and move on. If you don't hear anything today, hear this. It's time to let go and move on. It's time to let go and move on. Some things, they're in the past. You got to let them go. If you're going to go to your promised land, if you're going to go into what God wants for you, you got to let some things go. Can I hear an amen to that? We have to be willing to let go of the old and embrace the new. We are so committed to holding on, hold one, that we need to be willing to release the past and run to Jesus. He's the author of our faith. He's not just the author of one moment of faith. He's the author of our faith. And what I found with God is always, he's always challenging you to take more steps. This doesn't matter what age you are. Doesn't matter if you're 15. Doesn't matter if you're 60. Doesn't matter if you're 65. God always is orchestrating new faith. New steps. Come on, trust me. Leave that alone. Leave that behind. God wants to take you further. Can I hear an amen? Here's the other one. Number three is decide to trust in a good and faithful God. You know, God's faithful. I've had situations, I've probably gone through so many transitions, I forgot most of them. I mean, it seems like I go through a transition every couple of years, major transition. And you know what, the bottom line is, it always comes back to saying, God, you're a good God. Come on, is he a good God? He's a faithful God. He's a good God. Look, God is not angry at us. He's a good and faithful God. Amen? And so you got to trust him. You got to decide to trust him. Number four, decide to keep a spirit of gratitude in your heart. You know, when you're in the midst of change, it's so easy to get critical. It's so easy to go, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Have a grateful heart. God's good. God will get me through. Gratefulness. Listen, it's God's business to fulfill our faith. It's God's business. His timing is the one that matters. Our plans, our schemes mean nothing before a mighty God. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Be grateful. Trust God. You know, I used to, I was the principal of our Christian school for 12 or 14 years, and one of the things I would say all the time to the kids is, attitude is everything. And so I used to do this little acronym, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, based on the letters of the alphabet. And when you say, when it says attitude actually, when you add them all up, it comes to 100. But when you go another step further, when you say love of God, it actually is 101%. And so attitude is everything, but listen, the love of God is even higher. But listen, I just want to encourage you, keep a spirit of gratitude in your heart. Here's number five, is decide to open your heart to new opportunities, new doors, new connections, and new possibilities. 3 years ago, I was in the midst of a transition. I left staff. I left a job I really enjoyed, I loved, but I knew that God was kind of stirring my nest, and there were some things. I was in a Bartimaeus moment where I was saying that I'm just kind of being existing, and I want to do some things. I want to go places. I want to travel. That was my heart's cry. I want to travel. I want to do this, and I began to pray and seek the Lord, and then the Lord began to speak to me, and He began to challenge me, and all of a sudden I stepped out into new doors, and the reality was, listen, is God opened up new doors. Opened up new connections, opened up new possibilities, brought me in touch with multimillionaires that I would never have talked to. I'm going to places now I would never go to. In a week and a half, I go to Ghana for 2 weeks. After that, I go to Mexico. I go to Trinidad. I'm going across Canada. But if I hadn't have said yes, new opportunities, new doors would not have opened. Church, are you willing to say yes to new opportunities, to new challenges? You don't know what God can do. God can do many, many things in your life and through your life if you will open your heart. Amen? Amen. Leonard Ravenhill said this, opportunities of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. I think sometimes we miss opportunities because we're too comfortable in our little status quo. And look, some of you, God wants to extend and stretch you to become even mightier in what you're doing. He wants to give you new opportunities to minister. But if you're just still comfortable doing what you did, you'll never experience the blessing of taking that step. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. And last one is decide to allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to develop greater in your life. Amen. Allow God to just keep working deeper in your heart. Whenever there's change on your life, anybody here going through some change? Going through some transitions in your heart, in your life? Listen, that's a time when you just got to let God get deeper in your heart. And more love, more joy, more peace, more compassion, no more irritations, just letting God go deeper and deeper in your soul. Amen. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head this morning, and I just want to pray for you because I believe in my spirit, and I feel like this has dropped in some hearts in a deep way. I say this, that as a church, I believe that you're in these prophetic moments, these prophetic transitions, that God is wanting to speak and take you to deeper levels in God. He's wanting you to move into greater avenues of outreach, and even in worship, God wants to take you deeper into His presence in relationships. God wants to do that, but He needs some people who will say yes. Come on, right now in your spirit, just say yes to the Lord. Say yes, Lord. Whatever you want, say yes to the Lord. Whatever the Lord's been speaking to your heart, say yes to that. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in the fear and the wonderment of what's going to happen, how's it all going to work out, and we try to reason it, and that reasoning stops us from moving forward. And God's saying, look, just say yes, I'll figure it all out. I'm in control. Come on, is God in control? Yes. If you're here this morning, I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray that if you're here and you're in the midst of transition and you're trying to figure this out and you're trying to take steps and you're just wondering, you know that God is speaking to you. I want you to stand to your feet right now. I want to pray for you. I just want to say a word of prayer. And if you're in the midst of a difficult change, maybe it's a struggle right now. Maybe you're like Bartimaeus and you're trying to figure it out. And God is wanting to just speak right now into your heart. Allow the Lord to just come. I want you to just lift your hands to the Lord right now. And I just want you to just say, Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm available. I'm willing to go and do whatever you would ask of me. I'm asking you, Father, to meet me on the journey. Give me faith. Give me confidence to walk according to your will. Now, Father, I just thank you for every person here this morning. I thank you for those who have stood. I pray today, Lord, that in the midst of transition and change, as you're taking them from one place to another, Lord, from one stage to another stage, from one form to another, and Lord, there's at times maybe apprehension or there's even a sense of frustration of the journey. Lord, I pray that you would speak right into their hearts. I pray that you would just put a peace right now in their soul and in their spirit, that you would help them to author new steps of faith, to take new steps in the journey. We pray for open doors, open opportunities, open new ways of thinking, Lord, new ways of understanding. Lord, broaden their understanding of who you are. Lord, increase their ability to advance. Lord, even as a church, we pray that there would become even a greater advancement, that there would be like a collective surge forward, oh God, that there would be a movement forward in the Spirit, oh God. Even today, there would be a movement forward in the Spirit, oh God, that you would just enlarge the capacity of every person hearing this today, responding to this today, the Lord, that you would increase their understanding in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord that there would be a captivation of the Holy Ghost upon every mind, every heart this morning, that there would come a sense of your presence in a greater way in their lives. Father, in Jesus' name, amen.